The tweets are coming in this morning, and I appreciate it. We're live here, of course, at Scottsdale Stadium. It is sunny. The Diamondbacks are here. They're off to my left. I see Kirk Gibson. Mark Grace is part of their coaching staff. I know he's off their TV crew. Had a couple of drunk drivings, and they pulled him off that. And now he's working his way back as a minor league hitting instructor, but I see him down in the field as well. The tweets are coming in. Howard Halling, let's see what he says. Real sadness in Jeff Kent's voice when he mentioned steroid guys. Would love to hear his thoughts on Boggs. Good job. Marco Real Monte, rain in Santa Cruz, ready for baseball. All right, Marco's coming out to take some pictures. Pablo, PG831, enjoying some homemade waffles while listening to me. Just a steady drizzle out here in Monterey. Andy Bagley is going to join us. Andy, you're live right now, so if you start getting hungry hearing this stuff, it's good.
I want some. Where are my waffles? Do I get waffles?
Really? Tate Bubba in El Cerrito, it's raining there. The Wave Killer, watching Grapefruit League baseball on TV while listening to us on the radio. Life is good, he says. It's America's pastime. Marquis Levy, it was raining early in San Francisco. And our good friend Kissing Cousins, listening from cold Calusa, waiting for LOL KMBR callers to get fired up. Where's he been?
I think he is fired up. He's been around.
And not as much as either I'm doing a better job or, he's taking a couple of days off here.
I think he or she was was commenting on Jeff Kent's comment that he focused all spring on trying to be happy.
Oh, good. Okay, yeah. Very good. All right.
Some springs you wonder if he needed a little more time down here.
Carla Griffin raining in Napa, and that's those are our tweets this morning. All right. Andy Bagley is here. Extra bags, we always call them, but CSN bags on Twitter with two Gs. I tell you this, we've been through a lot of spring trainings together. There's something about this spring training that I'm looking forward to this game today. I look at the lineups of both teams. Somehow I just think the Giants have something to prove.
I'm really interested to see how they match up with Arizona because we know what the Dodgers are all about, and really people forget the Giants won the season series with the Dodgers. They were 10-8. But there's so much written and said about, for good reason, about the Diamondbacks and Dodgers and jumping in the pool. And we know they've gone back and forth. They're going to be playing in Sydney here to start the season. But I'll tell you what, there were a lot of really tense moments between the Giants and Diamondbacks last year. And it was always kind of fun when you watch Bruce Bochy match up against a Bobby Cox or Tony La Russa. There'd be more pitch outs. There'd be more cat and mouse. And those guys have retired. So I think the one manager that you really still get a sense for that with Bochy is Kirk Gibson.
Yeah.
They really enjoy kind of outfoxing each other. And it seems like games against the Diamondbacks, there's always something interesting, a little extra edge that goes on. And they got Bronson Arroyo, who's been a giant killer. So Bruce Bochy couldn't have been happy to see that. And I think they improved themselves in a lot of ways. Trumbo and Goldschmidt back-to-back in that lineup now. It's going to be really interesting to see how Arizona plays out, and they're going to make a big impact on this division wherever they finish in the standings.
Yeah, and they upgraded the bullpen. That's Kevin Towers. He's always going to do that. Brought in Addison Reed from the White Sox.
Yep, and I think that's almost the, we talk about Moneyball and being on base percentage guys, but I think it's really about finding people who are undervalued. That's really what Moneyball's all about. And you get a sense that in a lot of for a lot of clubs, a lot of GMs, they almost think the undervalued guys or undervalued way you can win a game is by shortening that game with that bullpen. And you saw the Dodgers have a very good bullpen, lots of firepower, and the Diamondbacks certainly are doing that. And you saw the A's, all the investments they made in their bullpen, and they look like they're going to be really tough. And you wonder if the Giants maybe did enough, with their counting on some bounce-back years from guys like Affeldt. But I think Arizona is going to be in pretty good shape when you get past that sixth inning if they have a lead.
Well, Andy Bagley with us, a pleasure. Andy wrote a terrific article, and you can look at it at the CSN site, and if you follow him on Twitter at CSN Bags with two Gs. On Marco Scudero last night, and we left Mesa, you said, well, I think I'm going to write about Scudero. I said, go home, eat. But you wrote the article about Scudero. I thought it was terrific, and it put some perspective on this second base situation and what they may be able to expect out of Scudero.
Yeah, no, thank you, Marty. I won't give away everything that's in the article, but what Marco is really trying to explain to me is what happens with his hip and his back and why it becomes a problem. And he said in the past when he would start to have this tightness and tenseness that would act up, and because one of his legs is slightly shorter than the other, that basically a trainer or a chiropractor, whoever, could just give his leg a good tug and his hip would snap back into place and he'd be fine for another month. And that doesn't work anymore because his hip socket has almost turned forward a little bit. And so it just doesn't align properly, and it leads to a lot of tension in his other muscles as he's trying to compensate. I mean, he was out there taking ground balls today for the first time with the team. Mm. He's been on the backfield for three other days, and he still hasn't swung the bat, not even in the cage, because he knows that there's still some instability in that hip. And it's going to be something that they're going to have to try to maintain again all year long. And it's a testament to his bat control that he was still able to hit 297. He was still the second hardest player to fan in the majors. I think it was a strikeout every six or so plate appearances. But the extra base power was gone. He said, I had to cheat on everything inside. And that's where he gets his extra base power, when he yanks one, because he thinks single. He thinks line drive to right field. He's so good at it. But they need him to be a tactician with the bat again. They need him to be healthy. And it's a long spring. Brian Sabian told me that they're not really looking at backup plans yet. They still are confident they're going to get him ready, and he's going to be functional to start the year. I don't think he's going to play 127 games like he did. But in the meantime, a lot of these other guys are going to get time at second base, and that's going to be pretty interesting.
Well, if there was an alternative, it's not so bad having him come off the bench. You know, he's a good player in that situation, but unfortunately, there's no one that I see yet of big league quality to say, okay, you're now my second baseman for 140 games.
Yeah, I think, Joe Panik is a guy who's going to be a Triple-A, and he's coming off a little bit of a down year, but was struggling with the hamstring injury, and then he was a little heavy, a little out of shape, and he looks a lot better this spring. And I still think that he could be a Freddie Sanchez type. He's a guy who doesn't strike out, more walks than strikeouts, but he's not ready yet. He needs at-bats at Triple-A before he could be maybe thought of as someone who could take the mantle at second base. Christian Arroyo, he's a shortstop now, but he could be a very good second baseman, but he just graduated high school last year.
Yeah, he hasn't had his prom date yet.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're looking at Abreu, Adrianza, two guys who are out of options, and if they do decide to go with four outfielders, which I don't think they will, but if they do, then they could keep both Adrianza and Abreu.
And Arias? Boy, that'd be a lot of infielders to carry around.
Yeah, it would be. And that means somebody's going to be taking fly balls in the outfield, whether it's Brandon Belt, because you have to have someone who can play the outfield. So, that's sort of what they got to figure out. But they got a month to figure all that out. And, as we all know, these decisions are often made for them. You know, if Abreu can't stay on the field or Marco can't get on the field, it's a month and it's a lot of time for someone to get injured or something to happen. So, we're still missing a lot of information.
I still say the DL is a good friend to the general manager when you come out of spring training. Options and the DL. Really, that's the way you solve the problems.
Yeah, it's the way a lot of decisions are made because you don't necessarily think, opening day, everyone wants to win on opening day. But it's not Game 7 of the World Series. It's not a must-win. It's not you're firing on every cylinder you can. It's the first step in a marathon.
Yeah.
And so the team that is out there on opening day is not the team that's going to be out there at crunch time at the end of the year. So a lot of times you make these decisions based on just protecting your inventory, your organizational inventory. So even though like Derek Law might be one of the best five relievers they have in camp, you can always bring him up if a Contos doesn't work out or something like that. You always want to have a first line of defense and have a second line of defense. And that's a lot of ways that these decisions are made.
Yeah, but it's called depth. Did you just say it's a long season? I think you did.
It's a long season, Marty,
The
story unravels as we go. We don't know where it's going to lead. We don't know how the chapters are going to be written. But
you did say that. Very good. Very good. Hey, Tim Hudson today. I'm anxious to see him pitch. He hasn't pitched from the windup yet. Everything's been from the stretch to protect that ankle. What do you expect out of him today?
Well, I expect a guy who's going to be really fired up. I mean, when the lineup sheet was posted, he came over with his phone and took a picture of it.
Oh, did he? Really?
For a keepsake. You know, he said, "Who's that old guy in the orange riding there?" And he's also upset he's not hitting today. So I think he's going to get right in league with Bumgarner on that. But you're right. The cover plays at first base and all those, it's going to be interesting if he has one of those because he hasn't been doing all the PFP with all the other pitchers. He's been doing just little things here and there. Obviously, he wouldn't be out there starting today if the Giants felt that he couldn't handle that. So I'm looking for a guy who's just eager to make a new start.
Yeah,
it's keep always the, neat when keep, an old guy gets to make a new start.
Thank you. Yeah, keep the ball down and just get out of here without any trouble, especially for him. Anyone jump out at you as we let you go? I know there's a lot of you have to do pregame here. Anyone like jumping out at you so far and say, boy, this is, looks like something interesting about this ball club this spring?
Yeah, the first guy that just pops into my head is Adrianza. I think he looks stronger. Every year, you know, I would hear from Giants people who would say, well, you know, he's going to fill out, he's going to get stronger. And then he'd show up to camp, and he still looked very young, very immature body. And now he looks a little bit stronger to me, and he's definitely got an idea what to do with the bat. And he's looked good from both sides of the plate, too, Marty. I mean, a guy who can put a jolt into it. You know, and you go back to an Omar Vizquel, and he learned how to switch hit in the minor leagues, and he came up, and he hit 220 his first year, and by the time it was all said and done, he had about 2,800 hits.
Correct.
So, you know, his glove, we all knew Adrianza's glove would get him to the big leagues, but his bat looks like it's coming along pretty good.
Yeah, if you haven't seen Adrianza play, if you're coming down here, definitely come out early. You have to come out early for infield practice, but he's got the hands, you know, the hands, the shortstop hands,
yeah.
Those quick hands. He's got them.
I was
and you don't see a lot of people with it.
Have you watched him play catch? Just
no.
Playing catch.
Yeah.
He does. He's one of the few guys who does what Omar always used to do, where he'll hold out the back of his glove, and he'll catch the ball and have it smack against the back of his glove and transfer it immediately.
Really?
It's never even in the pocket of his glove. And you see some guys do that from time to time, but not too many. And Vizquel always
good.
Played catch like that.
Wow.
And Adrianza plays catch like that. So that tells me something.
Oh, beautiful. Hey, thanks for stopping by as always, the KNBR Insider. And really, I told you, Andy, you do such a good job on TV and the written stuff. And it's always a pleasure to have you on.
Oh, thanks, Marty. Anytime.
Okay. All right. More coming up.